I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, Friday mornings at 9. Join me as we explore topics like health and wellness, prosperity, inner peace, the law of attraction, and more. Tap into good vibrations to start your weekend feeling uplifted and optimistic. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Fridays from 9 to 10 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie. Welcome to the show. Happy Friday. We have today author of Conversations with God, Neil Donald Walsh. He is just in the process of releasing a new book, When Everything Changes, Change Everything, in a Time of Turmoil, A Pathway to Peace. So we're going to talk about that and also take your calls. If you want to get on the air and speak with Neil, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And if you're listening online, you can also email the show at spiritualshow@gmail.com. So without any further ado, here is Neil Donald Walsh. Hello, Neil.
Hi, good morning. How you doing?
Fantastic. How are you?
Well, I'm just doing fabulously well. Thank you, Marie.
Wonderful. Well, I have a whole lot of questions to ask you and only an hour to do it, so I really want to jump in. But first of all, you have this new book that's coming out. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Well, you know, yes, I can. Thank you for asking. I'm seeing that the world is going through a period of enormous change right now at every level. Globally, we're seeing geopolitical changes, obviously economic and financial changes, and social changes as well, changes in how we're presenting ourselves to ourselves as members of the human family. For instance, just to use one example, gay marriage, and there are many other examples as well across the social spectrum, where humanity is presenting itself to humanity in a way that's entirely different from the way we told our cultural story even a few years ago. These global changes that really cut across a swath of all of humanity are demonstrating themselves and manifesting themselves at smaller levels, in smaller ways, in our individual lives. That is, life is changing in our own homes. People are, in fact, in some cases, losing their homes, regrettably, because of the global financial crisis. People are losing their jobs because of the global financial economic turndown. People are even regretfully losing their relationships in many cases because of the extraordinary stress and strain that these other conditions and circumstances are placing on daily life. And so what we're seeing is that change is the experience through which many people are now moving, and not a few people. You know, I stand up in front of my audiences these days, and I ask my audience members, how many of you have experienced a major change? We're not talking about a small one here, but a fairly significant change in your life in the past 36 months or less, and almost 85% of the hands go up. And this is common in every audience before I speak these days. And I was beginning to notice that in the last year or so, and I thought, you know what, I need to find a way to take the messages of the Conversations with God books and bring them down to earth, make them practical on a day-to-day, 9-to-5 basis in people's lives so they have tools with which to negotiate these extraordinary changes that are occurring in the lives of all of us. That's what the book is about, and the book suggests in a single sentence, when everything around you is changing, change everything. That is, change the way you view life, change your whole idea about life itself, about who you are, change your emotions, change your truth, change your thoughts, change your reality. And the book gives you specific tools with which to do that. So, in one sentence, when everything changes, change everything.
Fantastic. Well, it sounds like an exciting new book, and I really like that it's going to be practical ways. I was reading Conversations with God, and it's a fabulous series of books, and at the same time, there's not a lot of practical use. I mean, there is, but
well,
at the
you're
same
exactly
time,
right. It's largely conceptual in nature. You're profoundly right. Don't feel bad about saying it because it's true. The first 9 Conversations with God books contains enormous wisdom, but it's largely conceptual in nature. My job was to take a look at those 9 books. I took about 2 months to do it, and to pull out the bits and pieces that were practical advice, that things you could apply in a 9-to-5 way as an actual tool. They're in there, but across 3,000 pages, hard to find. So I spent some time researching my own books, actually, pulled out some of those practical ideas and those practical pieces of advice and pulled them all into one book. That's what this book is about. So this book, I want to say, practicalizes the messages of Conversations with God.
Wonderful. So we're talking right now with Neil Donald Walsh here on Synchronicity. If you'd like to get on the air and ask him a question, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR, or you can email spiritualshow@gmail.com. Now, Neil, as I was reading your books, On this show, I talk about my challenges with spirituality and my growth process and some of the feelings that come up. And I see a lot of people that say that they're channeling this being or they're talking with God. And, you know, I have to confess, I haven't had that kind of experience personally. And so I'm wondering, in your experience of conversations with God, I mean, how was it? Was it this booming voice in your head, or how did that experience come across?
That's a wonderful question. Marie, first of all, let me say this. The information that I received said to me very clearly, everyone is having a conversation with God all the time. Read that, everyone with a capital E. We're simply calling it something else. Perhaps we've emerged from a social system or a religious belief system that precludes us from calling it a conversation with God. So we call it, women's intuition, a moment of serendipity, an extraordinary coincidence, a stroke of genius, an incredible idea. But in fact, I'm told that the source of divine wisdom within all of us that runs through all of life is communicating with all of life all of the time, so that all of us are receiving these communications, and they show up, by the way, in many forms, not just a booming voice, which you might expect or wonder about, but in fact, the words on the billboard, when you turn the next corner and there's this billboard right, staring you in the face, or the chance utterance of a friend on the street, or the lyrics of the next song you hear on the radio, or just the right article in the magazine at the hairstyling salon that you pick up while you're getting your hair done, and you say, oh my gosh, I can't believe that this article's in here, in this 5 month old magazine, so that these serendipitous or so-called coincidental experiences that come to us in a variety of ways are in fact the many ways in which the larger part of what life is about, that I call God, the place of wisdom and clarity within all of us, is speaking to us and really, in a sense, almost leading us around by the nose if we'll just pay attention to the signs and to the symbols. Now, to answer your question specifically in my case, I receive information from the divine, from the source of wisdom within all of us, in the same way everyone else does, just as I've just described. In fact, in the chance utterance of a friend on the street, or the lyrics of the next song I hear on the radio, or the billboard as I turn the corner and go, I don't believe those five words are speaking right to me. I also have been able to actually receive inspiration as I am writing. The first experience I had was an actual voice in the room. I actually heard a voice in the room with me, speaking to me directly, an exterior voice, a physical sound in the room. I know that's very, very hard to believe. It was 4:20 in the morning, and of course I want to say probably just my imagination. But you could put a gun to my head, and I would not disavow that I personally heard that voice speaking directly to me, so much so that it scared me. I turned around, of course, it was 4:20 in the morning, and I couldn't imagine who got into the house and who's talking to me. Only then did I realize, oh my gosh, you know, I must be imagining this. But the voice continued to speak, and then, very quickly, I want to say, it moved inside of my head. That is, it became the sound of my own thoughts. What I have often referred to since then as a voiceless voice, very much like the sound of your own thoughts, except saying things to me that my thoughts would never say, would never dream up, have never dreamt up, saying things to me that I've never read before, seen before, understood before. So clearly, in the voice of my thoughts, but obviously coming from some higher place to which my thoughts have not previously been privy.
Amazing. Well, Neil, it's almost time for a break, so I think what I'm going to do is take a break now because I have another big question related to this. So I'm just going to put you on hold here. You're listening to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you may be listening from anywhere on the globe at citr.ca or cosmicdimensions.com. I'll be back with more Neil Donald Walsh in just a moment.
Holy smokes! I can't believe I'm part of the coolest club in the world!
Bub?
Yeah?
So, what club is that?
CITR! As a club member, I get ginormous discounts on the Friends of CITR card, which in itself, Timmy, I must say, is pretty amazing. I get dirt cheap prices at stores and shots I'm at all the time anyway! To be honest, it feels like being in a club within a club!
Wow. Hey, I want a Friends of CITR card.
You don't even have to be a member to get one, although clearly you'd be that much cooler if you were a member. Go purchase your Friends of CITR card down at CITR, or at special events they sponsor, such as concerts, membership drives, and shindig.
I got it. It feels like having special powers. I go into stores and bam! Discounts.
Tis what I said.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we are talking today with the author of Conversations with God, as well as his brand new book, When Everything Changes, Change Everything. In a Time of Turmoil, A Pathway to Peace. Here is Neil Donald Walsh, and if you'd like to speak with him on the line, the number to call is 604-822-2487. Again, that number is 604-822-2487. Welcome back to the show, Neil.
Thank you.
So you were talking about your experience of hearing a voice in the room. And now I've seen your movie, Conversations with God, which was very inspirational and really interesting to see that you had experienced a lot of turmoil yourself in your life. You were even homeless at a point.
Well, yes. You know, in fact, I think everything... short of death, I guess, everything that can happen to a person, or at least in one form or another, has happened to me. And at this particular point in my life, Marie, I mean, what I've just said, of course, could be said of everyone. We've all gone through our stuff, and we all have our story. But what's interesting about my story is that all the stuff that we hope would never happen happened at once. In other words, I lost my job. I lost my relationship. I was out of a marriage that I was deeply involved with, obviously, with children and so forth. And I lost my health. So I had health, money, and love all go away in about the same 30-day period. So I was really at the bottom of the barrel. I was at the end of my rope. I really didn't want to go on with life anymore because I just didn't understand how 30 days ago it could be one way and 30 days later everything had changed. I mean, everything had changed. It eventuated. It started with a car accident in which I broke my neck. Listen, you know, it's amazing, absolutely amazing that I wasn't...
Sorry about that, Neil. Did you hear the phone ringing?
Are we still there?
Yes, we are. I think that we have a caller on the line, though.
Sure.
Hello, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, what's your question for Neil?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
You're on the air right now. What's your question?
What's my question? Sorry, I didn't expect you to answer. I'm just a huge fan. And listen to his tapes all the time.
Okay. So if there's no question, I'm going to let...
Well, I'm sorry. I lost of words. I just... wanted to say I listen to the tapes all the time and just get a lot out of your work and appreciate everything that you're doing.
What is your name?
Jill.
Jill? Well, Jill, how nice of you to call in. Thank you for saying
those
nice things.
Yeah, I'm sorry I'm at work, so I had to leave my desk. I didn't expect you to answer, so I'm grateful that you answered. I'm just really feel blessed to listen to... I listen to your tapes almost daily in the car. A friendship from God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you're very nice to call in and say those things to me. Thank you, Jill. It's very sweet of you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
It's really changed my life. So thank you. And I wish I had a question, but I don't at the moment.
Well, it's perfect that we had a chance to say hello to each other. Thank you, Jill.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Yeah, you too.
And a good life.
Yeah, absolutely. Getting better all the time.
All right.
All right.
Where I was, Marie, is that I had all three things at one time had already gone wrong, and when I had this car accident, I was out of work immediately because it broke my neck. It's amazing I didn't die because of the broken neck, but I managed to escape that. But I also escaped paralysis as it happened. But I did have to undergo about a year or more of physical therapy, which I did. But I was, of course, completely out of work. I couldn't do anything. I'm walking around with a broken neck. So I was very soon, since I had been self-employed, out of money and out of resources. And without too much more time going by, I found myself on the street with nowhere to be. My relationship had disintegrated simultaneous with that for a whole pile of reasons, and this added more stress to it, which is what I was talking about earlier in our conversation, Marie, that these kinds of events, life events, can put enormous stress and strain, and if the relationship is already encountering difficulties, it can really be the straw that broke the camel's back, and in my case, that's exactly what happened. And then my income naturally evaporated as well, so there I was, and I was really, really not wanting to go on anymore with my life. I just didn't. I was, by the way, not a young man. If I was 25 or 35 or even 45, I could say, well, there's a chance to bounce back. But I was 50 years old when all this was happening. So not a real good time for that to happen in somebody's life. Just when you think you're supposed to be pulling it all together, in my life, it was all falling apart. So that's really what set the stage for this experience that you saw in the film.
So, Neil, do you, and thank you so much to Jill for calling in. I apologize, I kind of messed up the phone line there. So, but, Neil, I'm wondering, you were in, obviously, a time of asking and a time of great need at that point. And in the movie, you'd actually managed to get yourself a little bit together. You had a place to live at that point.
Finally, yeah, after a year on the street.
And why do you think that you specifically, I mean, I know that you said that we're all speaking with God, but I mean, hearing a voice in a room is a lot more dramatic than seeing a billboard that's kind of...
Well, I'm not sure that it is, by the way. I'm not sure that it is. If you're driving down the road and you're looking for a sign and it says, God, just give me a sign. Am I doing the right thing here? Should I really be entering this marriage, or should I be taking this job? Or just give me any sign, God. I'm looking for a sign. You drive down the road and right around the corner there's a huge billboard 40 feet wide that says yes. whatever. And I'm not sure that is any less dramatic than a voice in the middle of the night. But because trauma is drama no matter how it presents itself. I know what you want to ask me is, why was I chosen, or why did this happen to me as opposed to everybody else? Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you that it does happen to other people, even in the form of a voice. I've gotten lots of letters now. I've gotten probably 10,000 letters in the past 15 years, letters and emails. And those letters and emails tell me that there's one big lie on the front of my book. It's a huge lie. It says, conversation with God, an uncommon dialogue. And I'm hearing from people all over the place saying, God talks to me too. And in fact, you even said in your opening remarks that in fact there are people now who are saying that God is speaking directly to them, often in the form of thoughts or words, if you please, or a voiceless voice inside of your head. And sometimes even from people who say, I swear there was someone in the room with me here. So I don't think it's quite as unusual an experience as you'd like to make it out to be, although I will not deny that it is not common. I will agree with you there. Why did it happen to me? I think that earnest yearning, to know. I think, someone once said, necessity is the mother of invention. I think that when we are so desperate and so at the end of our rope and so earnest and so yearning, and I also want to add this too, Marie, I have been yearning for some connection, some real connection with God, I think since I was 7 years old, and I'm not exaggerating. When I was a very young boy, my mother filled my mind with images of God. I was born in a Roman Catholic household. It was not, overtly religious. It wasn't, such a devout family that we prayed at every meal or anything of that nature, which is not a bad thing to do, by the way, but just wasn't happening in my house. But it was my mother was a fairly religious person. So from the time I was born, she would talk about dad, you know, your brother, life, and God. And God was just part of her common conversation with me. And so by the time I was 7 or 8, I began to wonder, who is this character, God, that Mom keeps talking about? And then as I learned more and more and went to school, you know, of course, I was placed in a parochial school, as you might imagine, and there the nuns told us about their ideas about God and the Catholic Church's concept of God. And I was raised in that tradition to know that there was something larger going on. So from the time, really, that I was 7 or 8 or 9 years old, I was deeply invested in yearning to know more about this person, this being, this essence that people are calling by a variety of names. As I grew older, I found out God, Brahman, Yahweh, Allah, Jehovah, and other names as well. And I thought, what is this that everyone's talking about by different names? So my soul, I have to say, was yearning for that connection. And then toward the end of my period of difficulty, when I got back on my feet a little bit, I found myself a little one-bedroom cottage to live in. I was off the street again. I was, in fact, visited by that experience, as I think many people are. And I think, to answer your question directly, probably a result of my 40 or 50-year yearning for some level of reality around this thing that people call God. I'm now very clear. God is real. God is present. God is available to all of us. God is not a figment of our imagination. And furthermore, God is an essence and a force that can be used and asks us, invites us to use it, to use her, to use him, whatever pronoun we want to use God in our everyday lives to produce the outcomes and the results for which we would pray and for which we would yearn. And so, I mean, you know, one of these days I'm going to write a book called Using God. because, and you know what's funny about that, Marie? Every religion tells us this. There's not a religion on the face of the earth, not a single one, that doesn't say essentially the same thing. We may differ on the basics of the theology, but all religions say just pray to God. Ask and it will be answered. That's a common thread through every religion on the face of the earth.
So, Neil, that actually brings me to the beginning of book 2. You asked God why there were long breaks between chapters. There was 5 months of no communication at one point, and you received a message that God said that you hadn't been meditating or praying in that time. So did you need to, when you started with book 1, and before you heard that voice in the room, had you been meditating and praying, or how did it get to that point?
No. My meditation at that point was desperation, sheer desperation. As you know, as I've mentioned, I had lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
I had lost everything, and you know, I was then calling out in my mind, as the desperately lost often do. You know, God, if you're there, now would be a really good time to show up, because I'm at the end of my rope here. And when I'm lecturing in front of my audiences, I often say to them in kind of a kidding way, but I mean it. I often say to my audiences, you know, there I was sitting on my couch saying, if you don't give me an answer right now, I'm out of here. And God was sore afraid. That's my joke line. And said, you know, ran around telling the angels, we got to do something, we got to do something. Neil is threatening to leave. So, and it usually gets a pretty big laugh, but then I move forward with my lecture, and I tell them it was at that point, really, from a place of anger / desperation / pleading and begging, the kind of pleading, begging anger that we feel when we are totally desperate. And it was then that I opened myself to the experience that was all around me, that was already happening. I want to make that real clear. It's real important for me to tell anyone who's listening to this right now that God is always there, always around us, in us, as us, through us, and in our very environment, in our very breath that we breathe. God is ever present with us all the time. It's not a question of God decides to show up one day because, well, okay, he's been praying long enough. Let's have some pity. Okay, God, go to 2436 Weimar Street and go say hello to Neil. It isn't like that. It isn't that God is not there until he finally decides to be there. God is there always. in the life of every single human being, every minute of every day. It's not a question of when God shows up. It's a question of when we realize, when we open ourselves to the experience of God's ever-present reality.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. It's time already for another break, Neil. So you're listening to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we are speaking with Neil Donald Walsh, the author of the Conversations with God series, and he has a new book out, When Everything Changes, Change Everything. So it's time for a break. If you want to get on the air and talk to Neil, ask him a question, please give me a call right now at 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. Give me a call right now, and during the break, I'll get you set up to talk with Neil. So we'll be back with more of Neil Donald Walsh here on Synchronicity.
Rude boys, don't cry, don't cry.
Rude boy, don't cry.
CITR.
Ska music, you make me dance.
Great. Okay, I'll put you on hold and you'll be up in just a minute.
Ska music, you're all right.
Scott T. Scenic Drive, every Friday morning, 10 a.m. till noon, CITR.
Hi, welcome back to the show. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. And we do have a caller on the line, so welcome back, Neil. And hello, who are we speaking with?
You're speaking with Alex. Good morning, Neil. Good morning.
Good morning.
If you don't mind, Neil, you were briefly talking about signs, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say that listening to your program today is a sign for myself. To give you just a little bit of context of where we're from, both my spouse and I are both very successful. We do very well, and we really aren't in any sort of level of desperation, except maybe for that of seeking faith. Would and how do I or we attempt to reach God or speak with God if we're not in that sort of category of the meek or of the desperate?
Well, you know, it's a wonderful question, and I am trying as hard as I can to make it clear with every word I speak that it's not necessary to be in any particular situation, desperate or not, in order to experience the realization of God in your life. Desperation isn't the required, a club card to get in, membership card to get into the God Club.
It seems to be a catalyst to at least being receptive to hearing God.
Well, I think it is That's fair. I think it is for some people who are just stubborn as hell. I mean, you could hit me over the head with a 2x4, and I wasn't going to go there. But so I had to be brought to my knees. But I don't think it's accurate to say that everyone has to be brought to their knees. Let me tell you what I think is the membership card in the God Club.
Okay.
Desire.
Thank
not
you.
Desperation, but a different D word. Desire. If we have a sincere, which I did not have until I was desperate. So sometimes people need desperation to acquire desire.
Mm-hmm.
But well, there's a poem there somewhere. Acquire desire. In any event, sometimes people need desperation to acquire desire. On the other hand, if we have desire in the absence of desperation, then we shortcut our way right straight to the God Club. So I want to say to you that if you have a real desire, to have this line of communication with that which is divine, with the place of divine wisdom within all of us, then simply stick with that desire and then see if there are some things that you can do in your everyday life. By the way, there's a wonderful series of chapters in my new book. Not that I'm trying to sell one more copy, truly in the new book, When Everything Changes, Change Everything, mm-hmm. there's about 3 chapters in the back of the book that answer the question, how can we connect with the divine wisdom within us, with the source of divinity in the universe? If we aren't desperate, if we aren't facing some kind of an emotional crisis, what about, just everyday life?
Mm-hmm.
And there are 2 or 3 chapters at the end of that book that talk directly to that. Briefly, here on the phone, I'll tell you that the tools of meditation, prayer, regular, ordinary prayer, the way we've all learned about and how to do it, most of us have.
Yes.
And other forms, and many different forms of meditation, not just what I call sitting meditation, but walking meditation, doing meditation, and even what I call stopping meditation, all of which are described in the back of that wonderful new book. So there are a lot of ways for us to, and those aren't the only ways, by the way. There are other ways as well. Journaling can be a wonderful way if you could just let yourself get out of the way, get your mind out of there, and just let yourself journal from a place of open-mindedness and connection with God. I do a process when I do my evening programs. We're doing one in Baltimore here in a couple of days now, next week, I think, or the week after. And we do a free evening where we invite people to have their own conversation with God. And I swear, what is your name again, sir?
My name is Alex.
Alex.
Yes.
I swear to heaven, you may not believe this, but we sit there in front of 200 or 300 people. We give them all a pad and a paper, a pad and a pencil or a pen, and we place them into the right state of mind, play a little soft music and so forth, do a little meditation, and then we invite them to have a conversation with God in writing, exactly the way I do. You know that 85% of the audience reports at the end of the first 20 minutes they've had exactly that experience. They just never did it that way before, never tried it that way before. But they open their mind. I invite them to ask a question, just ask any question that's important to you, not a frivolous question like who's going to win the Kentucky Derby or what's the next lottery number, but something important to your soul that you're really yearning to get some clarity on. And they write that question down, and then they go ahead and bring themselves the answer. And I'm telling you, the room lights up as everyone, 85% of the people, raise their hand. Wow, that's the clearest answer. I've never had this kind of clarity before on that issue. So I want to tell you that the process is replicable. That is, you can duplicate it in a room full of people, and I've done it more than once. And
that almost sounds therapeutical as well, and I'm going to accept this as a sign, Neil, of just speaking to you ever so briefly. We feel, and at least I feel, that we've been either clouded or we've been hypnotized by all of the material wealth and tangibles that we have now. So I'm going to accept this as a sign. I'm going to do a lot of research on what it is you do and how you speak. So I thank you very much for your time, and I hope that I will have a conversation sometime soon. At least my family will, at least my son will. I would really
That's
like
great.
That.
That's great,
well,
Alex.
So
and pick up the book when everything changes, change everything. And if you don't do anything else, read the last three chapters. You'll find a lot of information there.
I'll duck out of my office right now, and I'll go to the chapters, and I'll pick it up.
If it's not there, order it from Amazon.com. The book has just come out. Some stores don't have it yet. It's just barely brand new, but you can get it from Amazon.
Thank you so much, and thank you to the station as well.
Thanks, Alex. Thanks for calling in. So, yes, Neil, thank you for taking that fabulous call, and it was such a wonderful question. And so the book is just coming out now, so it may not be available yet in all stores, correct?
Yeah, it comes out on May the 11th. It actually hits the streets on May the 11th. Most stores, to be honest, already have it in. They have it in the back room somewhere. But they bring them out. There's a certain display date that they talk about. And so they bring them from the back room where they've been shipped, and they bring them out and they put them on the shelf. So the shelf date is May 11th.
Fantastic. And you can order that on Amazon.com or Amazon.ca if you're still waiting for that. And also your website. I was looking around your website, and you have a members area, and people can ask you questions. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, we do. And there's a shortcut to this site. It's kind of what I call a backdoor address, which is www, of course, ndwhome.com. NDW, naturally, stands for Neil Donald Walsh. So you just use my initials. ndwhome.com will get you to my home page. When you get on my home page, if you choose, there are many, many wonderful features there that are free, no charge, totally available to anyone who wants to use them, including, I might add, a total electronic book called The Holy Experience that's absolutely free. It's a full-length book, many chapters long. And if you, for a small fee, I think it's like $1.95 a week or $2.10 a week, something like that, you can join the Messenger Circle, which has just a huge swath of special features as well, including the opportunity to ask me any question you want about any subject covered in any one of the 9 Conversations with God books. That special area is called the Messenger Circle, and we now have well over 1,000 people who arrive there every day and chat back and forth. I also chat on that place every single day. We have conversations back and forth with readers who want to just chat about something or ask or talk just as Alex was doing a moment ago And so that is the place that we do that. I always promise that I would try to make myself as accessible as possible in order to have this kind of a sophisticated website. And once you get there, you'll see how many pages there are and how sophisticated it is. I mean, there are videos and audios and online courses and many, many exciting things, including, I might add, an emotional support center where people who are having emotional challenges right now can go and receive emotional support. So in order to do that, there are some expense behind that, of course. We have people who are doing all of this. So we ask people if they want to join that area to just give us a few dollars a week, less than you'd spend on a video. And many folks do, and they choose to become members of the Messenger Circle there. Thanks for mentioning that. And yes, people can connect with me there every day. I'm there. I just, in fact, every morning I get up and I spend a couple of hours on that site interacting with people all over the world.
Well, that's so wonderful. And Neil, it's great to know that people who are in emotional crisis, because I think right now, with everything that's going on, a lot of people are kind of at that breaking point of being in emotional crisis. And
that's exactly
the
right.
Economy and now the swine flu and everything. I mean, if you turn on the television, it's like, oh, no.
It's not one thing, it's another. You're absolutely right. And so, in fact, with the book, When Everything Changes, Change Everything, we're creating a whole network around that book. This book is one of the world's first totally interactive books. That is, you can get on the website, changingchange.net, and you can join the Changing Change Network. And when you get to that website, you can actually find the whole book on the website electronically. Click on any chapter or any paragraph, or even for that matter, any word. And when you click on that sentence, up will come a dialogue that other readers are having right now in real time about that same paragraph on one side of the screen. And on the other side of the screen will come up a commentary that I have made, either in video form or audio form or in written form about that very same paragraph. So that it offers you an opportunity to go behind the book to even deeper levels of exploration and explanation about the material. So just a wonderful, and there as well, there is an emotional support center for people who are having very difficult time moving through the changes right now that are confronting them in their lives. They go to the emotional support center and they can find immediate support from members of the Changing Change Network who will get back to them in 24 hours or less with some kind of opportunity to share energy and pick up some support, some information, some deeper insight around what they're going through. So, yeah. See, my determination is that people will never be alone. Marie, to be honest with you, the worst part of my experience of life that we described earlier when I was on the street and so forth is that I was alone. I was desperately alone. Of course, I didn't realize that God was always with me. So I had the experience of being utterly and completely shut out by society, by the world around me, even to some degree by my own family members for a period of time. And so I was totally and completely and utterly alone, too embarrassed to tell my friends what had happened to me, too upset to go back to my family of origin. I wasn't going to call up my 86-year-old father and so forth. So rather than get into any of that, I just kind of stayed there by myself, living in a campground, actually, living in a homeless park for homeless people. It wasn't even a park for homeless people. Homeless people simply took over the place, and nobody ever pushed us out. And so there I was, living in that homeless campground with a tent and a sleeping bag, wondering, how has it come to this? And Marie, I made a promise to myself. I made it, if I ever get out of here, if I ever get off the street, if I ever get back to real life, nobody will ever be alone again during their time of difficulty, if I can help it.
That is such a moving statement, and I just really want to thank you for being, as some people would call, a light worker out there, bringing this message to the world that that people are not alone and that they do always have God with them, as well as hopefully there's always someone that you can turn to. And I think, like what you mentioned, the embarrassment and the shame of turning to people, I'm wondering, if you had it to do over again, would you have kind of swallowed your pride and turned to someone who cared about you?
You bet I would. That's the first of of the changes that we suggest in the book. You know, the book, When Everything Changes, Change Everything, lists 9 changes that would change everything in the way you experience change in your life. And the first change, the very first change, is the answer to the question you just asked, which was a wonderful question, by the way. And the first change in the book is change your decision to go it alone. It is not necessary to go it alone. And the book describes how it is the tendency of most people, myself included, to self-isolate when things are going on in our lives. We don't want to burden others with it, we don't want to bother others with it, and we don't want to embarrass ourselves. So for a whole long list of reasons, we just don't tell anybody what's going on with us. We just turn inward, we become secluded in some cases, go to work, come home, don't talk to very many people. Soon the phone calls start ebbing down to zero. We sit there watching reruns on television every night until 10 o'clock, go to bed, try to read a book, and all by ourselves trying to deal in our heads with what's going on. You ask me would I have done it differently if it ever happened again? You bet I would. The first thing I would do, not the last thing, but the first thing I would do is pick up the phone and call those who love me and say, you know what, I don't want to be a burden, but I'm in trouble here. I'm in real trouble. And if I couldn't get help there, if for some reason or another it wasn't open to me to get help there, I would go to the next level. I would go to the helping agencies. I'd go to churches, synagogues, mosques, temples, anyone, any person or organization that extends itself out toward those who are in trouble. And if that didn't work, or even if it did, I would go to a third place, which is now the Changing Change Network. We intend to establish chapters in every major city in the world, not unlike AA, not unlike Alcoholics Anonymous, but this will be CC chapters, Changing Change chapters, where people don't have to have an addiction to show up at a meeting. They can just have a condition, a situation, a problem, a challenge. And they go to that meeting and they say, you know what? Everything's fallen apart in my life. What is going on? And I don't want to turn to alcohol. I don't want to turn to drugs. I don't want to turn to other behaviors that are not good for me or for others. But where can I go with this? What can I do? And before the next year are out, we're going to have those Changing Change chapters offering not just virtual reality help on the Internet, but real help in real time with real people on the ground in cities, towns, and villages around the world. In 10 years, I believe the CC chapters will be as ubiquitous as AA chapters are now, as we begin to recognize that the problem of change is one of the sudden and abrupt and major change is one of the biggest social problems facing humanity in the 21st century.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Neil. It's time again for another break. So you're listening to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we are speaking with Neil Donald Walsh today, author of Conversations with God, as well as the new book, When Everything Changes, Change Everything, in a Time of Turmoil, A Pathway to Peace. And Neil was just speaking about reaching out for help, and I just want to let you know, if you're in Vancouver, the number for the local crisis line is 604-872-3311. That's 604-872-3311, or you can call them toll-free 1-866-661-3311. So that is also an option if you're needing to reach out and make that first connection with someone. So we'll be back with more Neil Donald Walsh after these messages.
On May 12, 2009, BC is faced with a provincial election. Students should vote. When we speak up, they will listen.
Vote for candidates who support a reduced tuition to increase access to better education, better transit, and adequate funding to universities.
On May 12, vote in the BC elections.
This is a message brought to you by the AMS External Office, authorized by the AMS, registered sponsor under the Elections Act, 604-822-2050.
And welcome back to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. And we're talking with Neil Donald Walsh, author of Conversations with God and the new book, When Everything Changes, Change Everything. So, Neil, you're talking about the Creating Change programs, and there's a lot of change happening in this world, as you know, on this planet. And one listener wanted to know, what do you believe is going to happen in the next couple years leading up to 2012? This 2012 number is a big thing. And so I'm wondering what your opinion on that is.
I think that human consciousness is going to change. I think it's changing already. I think we're seeing a global shift of human consciousness. That is an expansion of our awareness. And I believe this process, as I said, is underway already. And I believe that the expansion of consciousness, this expansion of our awareness, is going to produce even larger changes of a more significant nature that will, as a result, lead us to the kind of life, globally, I mean, as a global community, for which we have been yearning and searching for many thousands of years. You know, it has been predicted in many traditions. There's a standing prediction in so many traditions of 1,000 years of peace that will come upon us when we reach critical mass on this planet in our larger understandings about life, about God, or what we call God, about who we are in relationship to God and to life, as well as who we are in relationship to each other. When we expand our understandings and when we reach critical mass in the number of people who hold those new understandings, we will embark upon 1,000 years of peace. I think that's what's happening now. And what you're going to see here in these next few years is an upheavaling, to use a new verb in the language, an upheavaling of humanity's presently experienced social, economic, and political and spiritual constructions. That is, to put it in simple language, everything is going to start falling apart. The financial situation has already disintegrated and is now rebuilding itself, and people already around the world are establishing new priorities. Oh, they're saying, so it's not just about bigger, better, more. Oh, so it's about perhaps spending some time with the family. So it's about perhaps all having dinner together a few nights a week instead of one night a week when we can possibly make it. So it's about sitting down and playing board games, is it? Instead of sitting here, everyone going off to their own thing that costs $10 or $20 or $30 or $50 a night to entertain ourselves outside this house. Oh, I see. It's about going on a picnic together and maybe camping out for a few days instead of taking that huge vacation to the Grand Tetons that costs us $5,000 a week. Oh, I see. So what's happening is we're seeing a rearranging of familial and individual relationship priorities. That's happening almost organically. In response to the financial meltdown, we're going to see the same kind of occurrence in other areas of our mutual experience, in our environment, in our politics. You know, the election of Barack Obama in the United States as the president there is a sea change. That was not a small shift. That was a sea change in U.S. politics, and for that matter, in global politics. And Mr. Obama is bringing his new thoughts and new ideas and new concepts and new ways of doing things to the world at large very, very rapidly. Now, I'm not suggesting that he's going to be a miracle worker and everything is going to be better overnight, but I'm saying to you that this is another sign, just one more sign, of a huge shift in politics, in spirituality, in economics, in commerce, in the way we do our day-to-day lives. And this shift is what that questioner is referring to. You can feel it going on all over the planet. Now, as to 2012, yes, I think that life as we know it, not life on the planet, but life as we have known it, is going to have a tremendous upheaval in this period up to and the days following 2012. And I don't think that very many things are going to be the same after that period of time. And there may, in fact, be some other upheavaling as well. There may be some kind of an earth shift or an earth change. I'm not sure about that. I don't know, and I'm not willing to sit here and predict it. I do know that we're going through the second renaissance on this earth, what sociologist Gene Houston calls jump time, where we jump up to a new level, where we can no longer sustain life as we are now living it, and actually go to a new place. Very much like the Renaissance. You know, the first Renaissance, as I'm sure you know, took place and stretched out over a 300-year period from the 1400s to the 1700s. And during that 300-year period, everything about the way it was to be human was changed. At the end of that 300 years, our sexual mores changed, our spirituality changed, our work life, what we call our commerce life, changed. The way we did everything, from banking to commerce to politics to religion, everything, everything, even art, changed over that 300-year period. The way we could do art and the things we could do. For instance, at the beginning of that 300-year period, to use a silly but important example, it was considered against the law and a violation of social ethics and mores to even depict a nude human being. You couldn't draw a picture of one. You couldn't paint a picture of one. You could not. 300 years later, Michelangelo and all the other artists of the Renaissance were doing exactly that. And if you go to Florence, Italy right now, you'll see it all over the streets there and elsewhere around the world as well. This was part of a huge shift in our way of being human. All right, now the second Renaissance is going to take place in one-tenth the time. Not 300 years, but 30 years, speeding up by a factor of 10 because of the incredible increase in the way we communicate with each other. We now have an experience that I call instaparency. We are transparent instantly. That is, a butterfly flaps its wings in Singapore, you know, and we have the effect in Southwest Los Angeles. And so we are able now to know things that are going on around the world instantaneously. This produces shifts and changes in our cultural, in our mores, in our entire human story so rapidly that from one moment to the next, almost, things can be completely different. So we're going to see in these next 30 years that kind of a new renaissance. And the 2012 shift that everyone's talking about and that has been predicted and prophesied at the end of the Mayan calendar is part of that. That's my long answer to your very short question.
Well, thank you for that. I know there are so many things happening, and I guess we can speculate and predict, but none of us really know for sure until we reach that point. But it's definitely
nothing to fear, though. I think the important thing that I want to say to people is it's nothing to fear. We're not going to see the end of humanity nor the conclusion of life on the earth. Those things are not going to happen, and I can assure you of that. But what will happen is there'll be a shift in the way we are being human with each other, and it'll be a good shift. And we get to decide to do one of two things: either play the role of spectator and observer, or play the role of creator, co-creator in that process. Choice is ours.
Wonderful. Well, Neil, it is about 5 minutes left in the show, so I'm wondering what you'd like to leave our listeners with, if there's anything that I haven't asked that you feel is important that you'd like to get across.
Well, you know, I don't really have a message. The message that I bring is so huge that it would take 3 days, not 1 hour, to share it with people. But if we were honing in on and focusing in on the subject of the latest book, which is the subject of my interest in the moment, when everything changes, change everything, I would say to people this. I would give them a little formula that can tease them into wanting to know more about that by picking up a copy of the book, but also give them a standalone tool, even if they never read a book. The one thing that we want to change that can change everything in our lives is our perspective. I have learned that perspective creates perception. That is, where we're standing determines what we see. I've learned that perception creates our belief. That is, seeing is believing. I've learned that belief creates our behavior. That is, we behave the way we believe we ought to, for whatever reasons we give ourselves. Our behavior creates the events of our lives. The events of our lives produces data that we store as each event has occurred from the moment of our birth to this very moment. From that data emerges a truth that we form based on the data that we have held in our memory. From that truth emerges a thought. We think about what we know to be so truthfully. From that thought emerges an emotion. Emotion flows from the thoughts that our mind holds, and we feel good or bad, scared or at peace about something or another. From that emotion emerges our experience of the event that produced the original data. And from that experience is created our reality. I've given you what I call the line of causality. From perspective to reality. And you can, interestingly enough, this is where it gets really interesting, Marie. you can change any one of those elements I just mentioned. I just mentioned 12 elements, perspective, perception, all of those, belief, et cetera, data, truth, emotion. You could change any one of those 12 elements and alter your reality on a moment's notice. The book presents the technology with which to do that, so that we don't have to live anymore in a distorted reality, but can ultimately experience what I call ultimate reality, the truth of who you are, of exactly what's going on, of why it's happening, and of who we can choose to be in the next golden moment of now. I know this all sounds like airy-fairy New Age stuff, but I promise you it has a very practical application in everyday life. That's why I wrote the book, When Everything Changes, Change Everything.
Well, thank you so much, Neil. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show, and I just really thank you for spreading your message about never being alone, and for your website. Again, the website is ndwhome.com, or you can just Google Neil Donald Walsh, and his website will come up. And again, the book is When Everything Changes, Change Everything, In a Time of Turmoil, A Pathway to Peace. And that book comes out in just a few days, on May 11th. So thank you so much for listening. I'm Marie, and this is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Next week, Laurel from Illuminating Souls will be channeling the Wisdom Council. May 29th, one of my favorite Hay House radio hosts, Summer McStravick, will be talking about flow dreaming for manifesting your desires. I'm here every Friday from 9 to 10 a.m. in Vancouver, or noon to 1 p.m. on the East Coast at cosmicdimensions.com. You can check out past shows on podcast at CITR.ca. Up next, Scotty's Scenic Drive on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Drive every Friday.